We're going to read together from the Word of God tonight in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, a very familiar portion of God's Word, but we'll turn to it again tonight. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. He said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Ending our reading of verse 21, we know that God will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's bow together for a moment of prayer. Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I turn your attention here to Luke chapter 12 and to verse 20. "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" The subject tonight is the man who died a fool. The man who died a fool. Here we have a rich farmer. It is the complaint of many farmers. They are not rich, but they are poor. I'm sure you've heard that before. Many, many hours of toil and labor, but little or no return for all the toil and labor. I usually say to them, "What about that John Deere there? What did it cost? Or what about that other tractor or that other piece of machinery?" Sort of wind them up a little bit. But this man had plenty. The Bible tells us in verse 16, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." He had a bountiful return in the time of harvest. You'll notice he not only had plenty, but he had a problem in verse 17. He thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." He was perplexed as to what he should do to house the harvest he had reaped. And then we discover in verse 18, he had plans. He had ambitious plans for the future. He said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." Building bigger and better and greater barns to facilitate all of the bumper harvest that he had reaped. And then he made a pronouncement in verse 19. "And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." He made a pronouncement about the provision he had made for the future. And he thought all was well. As far as these things were concerned, for years to come, he was going to enjoy himself. He was going to be at ease. He spoke about the pleasure he was going to have. He was going to eat, drink, and be merry. And you know, many are saying that tonight in this world. We're going to have a good time. We're going to live it up. We're going to live for today. We're going to live life to the full. We're going to have one big party. You hear that continually. I was in a lift one day in the hospital, and there were several nurses there on the lift, and I was standing there with a small Bible in my hand, going to visit someone. And they were talking about the parties they were going to have and the parties they had had. And that's the idea of the world today in relation to pleasure. No thought about their soul. No thought about eternity. No thought about God's salvation. But listen tonight. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And what a powerful word this is to the ungodly, to men and women and young people outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, with only time for the world, with only time for pleasure, and no time to get right with God. God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I want you to see three things in this verse of Scripture tonight. First of all, the description of this man. The Lord said to him, thou fool. The term fool used here refers to a heedless, witless person. And if you've no thought of God tonight, if you've no thought of eternity, if you've no thought about your soul tonight, you are a fool, a heedless, witless person. You see, this man was heedless to the many warnings he had received. And perhaps tonight you're in that category. Heedless to the many warnings you've received down through the course of your life. And you've chosen again and again not to listen to those warnings. In the hour of sickness, those warnings have come to you. In the time of sorrow, those warnings have come with great strength and power. In the various situations of difficulty and danger through life, those warnings again have come to you. I remember a person who had such warnings saying to me, when he found himself in a particularly difficult situation, he said, this is another warning to me. But sadly, he went on heedless to those warnings. It was, as we would say, like water of a duck's back. It made no impression upon him. And perhaps you've been in great difficulty in your life. Maybe even presently. You're going through a very dark passage in life's experience. You find yourself even tonight in great danger. And yet you are heedless to those warnings. Not only heedless to the warnings, but also heedless to the words that have been spoken to you. The Word of God on many occasions has been spoken in your hearing. You've heard it preached again and again. You have been often reproved. The Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The Word of God has come to you. The truth of God has been spoken to your heart. You've listened to it time and time again, but yet you have not received it in your heart. It has been the mere outward hearing. The Word of God says tonight, in Isaiah 55 and verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear and your soul shall live. Oh, that you might tonight hear with the hearing of the heart. That you might no longer remain heedless to the Word of God spoken to you. Heedless to the warnings. Heedless to the words. heedless also to the works of God that have been brought before you. How many are these works? Even the miracles of God's grace that you've seen. The lives that have been changed, the homes that have been rearranged by the power of God, and yet you turn away from God's salvation. Maybe someone in your family has got sin. Someone in your workplace. Someone who you meet or have met through the course of life. And you have seen the transformation in their lives. You've seen how different they are. You've seen the manifestation of God's grace, and yet you remain heedless to these things. You harden your heart. You stubbornly refuse to submit yourself to God's salvation. You remember Pharaoh in the book of Exodus? He saw God's works again and again. And yet he hardened his heart. How many times do we read there in the book of Exodus of Pharaoh hardening his heart against the Lord? He would not bend. He would not bow. He would not submit to God's word. Heedless to the works of God. Heedless also to the ways of God. You have chosen your own way. Like this man here in Luke's Gospel chapter 12. A way that was covetous. The Bible tells us here in this very portion we've read from tonight, take heed and beware of covetousness. And here's a man overtaken by it. Overtaken by materialism. Overtaken by pleasure seeking. A self-centered man. And that's the way of the world tonight. That's the way of the ungodly. That's the way of many in our communities. In our towns, in our cities, in our villages, in our families. Those that we meet in the course of life. You remember Felix, he said to Paul, having heard the word of God, he said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You see, this man, Felix, refused to go God's way. He was a fool. He was heedless in regard to God's salvation. Friend, let me ask you tonight, how is it with you tonight? Are you still heedless to the message of the gospel? Are you still heedless concerning your soul? Concerning eternity? Your need of God's salvation? Yes, we see the description of this man. I want you to see, secondly, the departure of this man. God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I want you to see, first of all here, it was a sudden departure. God said, this night. He hadn't got much time. You haven't got much time. People think they have plenty of time, but time is short. You think, well, I have tomorrow. But God says, emphatically to this man, this night. And to many perhaps in this town tonight, and maybe even to some in this very meeting tonight, God is saying, this night. A heart attack, an accident, a stroke, a brain seizure, a sudden illness, that will take you from this scene of time. The Bible tells us this. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. And then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. It was a dark night for this man. This night. Seemed to be a pleasant night. Seemed to be a merry night. Seemed to be a pleasurable night. He was entertaining himself with the thought of many a merry day and a merry night to come and a merry feast to come. But in the midst of it all is the end of it all. And God says this night. You think of Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5 and all that was going on at that time and the party that was taking place and yet the tragedy that took place in the midst of the party. And he was weighed in the balances and he was found wanting. And that very night, the Bible tells us, was Belshazzar king of the Chaldeans slain. The departure of this man, it was a sudden departure. I want you to see, secondly, it was his soul's departure. The Bible says here, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This man was going to die. His soul was going to depart from his body. He would find himself in God's eternity. What a solemn and sobering thought that is. For your soul to depart from your body, that will be death for you. It is inevitable, dear friends. It is inescapable. It is unavoidable. For my Bible tells me tonight, we must all needs die, and there is water spilt upon the ground which cannot be gathered up again. My Bible tells me tonight, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. The grim reaper will come to reap the terrible harvest. The king of terrors will come. The last enemy of death will come, and your soul will depart from this life. How will it be with you then? How will it be with you in the hour of your death? Your riches will not count then, if you have riches. Your religion will not count then, if you're depending on religion. Your respectability will not count then. It's only what you've done with Christ will count then. What have you done with Jesus? Or what will you do with Jesus tonight? This meeting. It was a personal departure. Thy soul. No one else could depart for this man. Neither can anyone else depart for you. It will be you and you alone. You know, people always look at the death columns and tell us, oh, someone else has died. Someone else has died. But you know, one day our names are going to be there. One day we're going to die. It was a personal departure. It was a painful departure. For this man died without God and without hope. He had no hope beyond the grave. And that is a painful departure. He had no time for God in his life. And he died without a hope to cheer the tomb. Will your departure be such a painful one from the scene of time? It need not be, my friend. For tonight, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ offers to you a wonderful salvation, a wonderful way of escape whereby you can be saved from a lost and Christless eternity. It was a permanent departure. No return to this life, no coming back to his riches, to all the things that he had going for him in this life. He was going to be gone, and he was going to be gone forever. Oh, the finality of it. I've stood at the graveside of my parents and my parents-in-law and those in my family, and many of you have stood there as well. If you haven't stood there, you will stand there someday. The finality of death. There's a finality about it. And I remember standing with my brother and my mother died, and he said to me, you know, as things go, we'll be next. We'll be next. Finality of death. A vacant chair. And you know, it's a permanent departure. We don't come back again. I remember a woman when I was ministering in the Shankill Road, and I went to this home, and this lady said to me, you know, she was as dark as midnight. And I went to sympathize with her, the death of her husband, and she said, you know, my husband's going to come back again. And she said, in fact, I have seen him sitting in the chair. I know we can have memories of people and visualize them and all of that. That's nothing wrong with that. But you know, friend, we're not going to come back. Once we're gone, we're gone. We're gone forever. It's a permanent departure. It's how you depart that counts. How are you going to depart from this life? The Bible says the place we have known will know us no more forever. And then I want you to see the summons of this departure. Thy soul shall be required of thee. God shall require thy soul. Unsaved man, woman, young person tonight, God will require your soul. You will be required to give account at the judgment bar of God. What a summons that will be. What have you done with your soul, friend? Give account of your stewardship. What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Questions could well be asked on that day. Have you accepted or rejected him? This man was summoned from the farm to the throne. From the farm to the throne. To give account. He was summoned from his pleasure and prosperity to answer before God. And the Bible says, as we've quoted already, is appointed unto man once to die. After this the judgment. Some time ago, I was listening to a report of a man charged with the murder of an elderly lady in Stranmillis in the 1980s, would you believe? He thought he'd got away with it. But some evidence came up. And the police knocked on his door. He was brought to a court to answer the charge, to give account. He was charged with murder. And was sentenced. My friend, the Bible says every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us. There's no escaping of it. The sentence at his departure. And you know, the sentence is from the great judge of all the earth. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 20. The book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And there will be a sentence that will be given. And for the unsaved person, it will be, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Matthew 25, verse 41. Condemnation. Damnation. In hell for all eternity. I want you to think tonight about the dilemma for this man. You see, in our text tonight it says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The argument here appears to be much the same as that of Ecclesiastes 5 and 15, where it says, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. You see, friends, we bring nothing into this world. And we will take nothing out of this world. You remember the story about the wee fella? And he was walking there behind all the men. You know, you walk there behind the, the hearse and you hear all this conversation going on. Many times, sure, Mr. Johnson, other men have walked in that cortege and you hear all this talk going on. How much did he leave? Heard it over and over again. How much did he leave? How much did you leave? And the wee fella, he heard all this and he piped up. He said he left everything. He was the wisest one among them. And friend, we leave everything. And we go from this life. We leave it all behind. You've heard the statement, there are no pockets in the shroud. All left behind. And you know, people are clinging to their riches in this world. And in a moment of time, they're taken away from it all. I was thinking today of Luke 16 and the rich man, and he died with all the plenty he had. The finery and the fair and the finance. He left it all behind and he opened his eyes in hell, in the torments of an eternal hell. Your riches will not do you any good in eternity. They cannot buy you God's salvation. Your riches will corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. No lasting benefit will come to your soul from the riches you have in this world. Folly, and nothing less than folly, is the right word by which to describe the conduct of the man who thinks of nothing but his money. The man, woman, or young person who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God is the man, woman, or young person who God declares to be a fool. It's an awful thought. That the character which Jesus brings before us here in this parable is far from being uncommon. It's a picture of many in this world tonight. Many in this world. Thousands and millions of people today are laying up treasure upon earth. And they have nothing laid up for eternity. Nothing laid up for eternity. My dear friend, tonight, what have you laid up for eternity? Where shall those things be which thou hast provided? The Bible says in verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The folly of storing up for yourself in this world and of nothing in store for the next. Be rich toward God, friend. Don't die a fool as this man. Don't die in your sin as this man. I remember my father telling me about my grandfather. I never knew him. He died before I was born. But he was unsaved. And they came to him at the end. And he cried out, oh, the blackness. Oh, the darkness. Oh, the darkness. And he died. Died in his sin without Christ. You're going to die in your sin tonight? Thank God you don't need to. Thank God you don't need to. You can be wise tonight. The Bible says, oh, that they were wise, that they would consider this, that they would consider their latter end. Will you be wise tonight in this meeting? Will you trust Christ as your Savior? I was wise when I was 11 years of age. Trusted Christ. I passed that place, 153 Ravenhill Road, where I was saved in that house. It's still there. Every time I pass it, I say to my wife, point up to the room. That's where I was saved. All those years ago. Not tell you how many years ago it was. But it's a long, long time ago. I thank God for God's salvation. You can experience it tonight. Will you come to Christ? Will you trust Him? Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I give you rest."